On a late summer evening in 2010, Mike Woods, the coach of the Ottawa Elite Running Team, stood on the side of the road, waiting. The wind was howling and it was pouring rain. But Woods waited because he wanted to catch a glimpse of a mysterious new runner on the local scene. This runner's speed and elegant stride had caught the eye of some of the other coaches in the area, but Woods needed to see it for himself to believe it.
I got a call from a friend saying they saw this kid doing intervals at the Terry Fox Athletic Facility, like the track in Ottawa. And my buddy said it was the most beautiful stride I've ever seen. Yeah, I remember watching him run it. It was probably the worst conditions you could do a running race under. Super high wind, thunderstorm, not ideal at all. And it wasn't a big half marathon by any stretch of the imagination, but he won the thing by 30 minutes. and yeah, he came floating by us 10K into the race, and just, he's got this beautiful stride where it's just, he makes everything seem so effortless. And right there, I was like, oh, I got to get this guy on my team.
Who was this mysterious runner with the beautiful stride? How did he come to Ottawa? On this week's episode of The Shakeout, we bring you one of the most harrowing and extraordinary stories in Canadian running.
At the age of 16, Yves Sikubwabu won a half marathon on a stormy summer night in Ottawa. We'll tell you how he got there, what happened after that race, and where he is now.
This is certainly not a typical coming-of-age story.
Yves Sikubwabu was born in Kigali, Rwanda in 1993. It was a year before the Rwandan genocide, during which hundreds of thousands of Rwandans, mostly of the Tutsi tribe, were killed by members of the Hutu tribe.
Fire and grenade explosions started in the center of town just before dawn and are continuing.
Underlying inter-tribal tensions have again exploded into violence, apparently with thousands dead, as rebel forces from the minority Tutsi tribe appear to be fighting the army dominated by the majority Hutus.
African state of Rwanda say an estimated 20,000 people have now died in 4 days of fighting.
Altogether, it's estimated that more than a million people have been forced from their homes by a campaign of butchery that shows no sign of ending.
Men accused of wielding the machetes are still at large.
Both of Sekuabu's parents were among those killed in the genocide. And as an infant, he was taken in and raised by his aunt.
Well, I was living with my aunt. And like I said, back in my background, my culture, you can have your neighbor's kids can sleep over anytime and they can eat your house anytime. So it was hard to keep track on how many kids we have. There was five kids at the moment who were consistent living there. But at one night, we can have like 10. And some of you know them, others you don't know them. You just share what you have.
Sikubwabu grew up orphaned. And to make enough money, he sold bananas with his aunt.
We used to save bananas. Well, it's not common because the way we sold the bananas, you carry like in the bucket on your head. And so you just walk around all day to see if someone can be like, hey, bring some bananas here. So I did that with her over the years.
Through track at school, he found normalcy and even had some fun.
Yeah, I did. I did run, but not much as I do today. Oh, it was just for fun, I guess, because when you don't haven't reached that competitive level, everything you do, it's just you want to have fun and you want to prove to your friends that you can be faster than them. So as a kid, it was not good. Like I said, I was training with the girls. That was only the teammate that I could keep up with.
He then started to show some talent, running on the roads of Kigali, and was noticed by a local coach.
I was the president of the team and the coach at the same time. I used to run myself, and when he was a kid, 9 years, I think, he used to run after me. When he ran after me, I advised him to run, to do athletics, because I saw that he has a good profile, and I was thinking that he will be a good athlete. I asked him to join us and to train with other young people, so he accepted. and we encouraged him to continue to run. He was just committed, and he understand he received well my advice.
Jean Damascene is a local running coach in Rwanda. It wasn't long before Sikuwabu developed into an exceptional athlete, and at the age of 16 was the only individual chosen to represent Rwanda for the World Junior Championships in Moncton.
We saw in him he will be good in 1500 meters, so he started with that. And he has been chosen among young athletes in Rwanda because he has been selected to represent Rwanda in the championship. And when athletes are chosen, are selected to represent the country, we are very happy. And Eve and me and the whole team were very, very excited to have an athlete to representing the country outside.
This was the first time the 16-year-old Sikuwabu would be getting on a plane or traveling outside of his homeland, and he was going to be doing it alone.
It was the first time I was on the plane, and it was the first time I was outside Rwanda. I think the Federation didn't have enough money to send me and my coach and probably other people. So they say, instead of sending a coach without an athlete, why can't we just send an athlete? They had to send me alone.
Immediately after getting off the plane, the details of just how different Canada is from Rwanda began to settle in for him.
Even when I took off, my aunt was like, remember to check if their land looks like our land, like the soil. So I went out actually to check if actually it looks the same. The funny thing is that everything is like, there's cement everywhere. You can right away find the soil.
Last night, they broadcast the opening ceremonies of the games, which were a spectacular to behold, to a sold-out crowd of over 10,000 people. Here we have a little snippet of what happened last night.
As the water is completely full of water, since that day, the Perigonia.
The 2010 World Junior Championships took place in Moncton, New Brunswick, between July 19th and the 25th.
In a few days, 16-year-old Eve Sikuwabu would line up for the biggest race of his life. The 1500-meter races began with the preliminary heats one day after the opening ceremonies on July 20th.
There were three heats in the 1500 meters, with the first three runners in each heat and the three fastest remaining runners qualifying for the final on the 22nd of July. Sikuwabu was in the third heat.
Well, like before the race, so I had to tell my aunt, obviously, that I made it. And I called her like a couple of times, or be like, oh, it's great here, I like it. So you see like all the people from all over the world. So I was just trying to tell her what's going on and how, you know, I'm happy to be in here. At the first call, it was nothing. She was like, oh, cool, I'm happy for you. We're good here too as well. Hang on. So I called her the third time, and then she's like, that's where she told me the story that she never told me when I was back in Rwanda.
It was supposed to be nothing more than a quick call to say he'd arrived in Canada and everything was going well. But what Sikuwabu learned on that call would change his life forever.
She knew that, but she didn't tell me that the neighbor are the one who involved my parents' death. So she said, these are people we live together every day. They're waiting for you to grow up. Once you're pointing them out, they have to go to the jail. But you have to be careful because they might take your life too as well. But that was the first time I was like, it's impossible. Why didn't you tell them? I couldn't believe it. Like I said, I had to call her many times in order to actually understand that my life was in danger.
Sikuwabu was just a kid, traveling alone in a foreign country for the first time. He found himself having to decide, should he go back home and face potentially being killed, or stay in this strange country and start a new life alone?
We will qualify first three in each of these teams, and the next three fast marks to a 12-man final, which will be held at 9 o'clock p.m.
He lined up for the race as a representative of Rwanda, the only place he had ever previously known, yet the country he was contemplating fleeing. For 3 3/4 laps around the track, he faced having to decide if he would ever return.
That day, Sikuwagu ran a time of 3:50 and finished 12th out of 13 runners. But instead of disappointment about the race, he could only feel the dread and uncertainty of what to do next.
Well, the first thing I did, I went to the cafeteria where we used to get the food and juice. I remember I grabbed apple juice, some oranges, and I put it in my backpack. And I asked the coach from Burundi, I say, I want to be in the national capital. I don't know what it is, but I just want to be there. I have no idea why I wanted to be in Ottawa. Later on, I knew it was Ottawa. And he say, yeah, there's a bus goes to Ottawa. That's the capital of Canada. So once I finished my race, I just disappeared.
On the bus, Sikuwabu felt afraid and alone.
I think what I remember was just I didn't even sleep because I was so scared. I'll be honest with you, I was only one African guy on the bus. And so I look around, I say, this is it. This is where they're going to eat me. But I was afraid. I say, I didn't know where to stop. And I wasn't sure when we're getting there. But apparently it took 24 hours and I was just drinking my juice and looking around everybody. And I was very, very scared.
Once he arrived at the national capital, Sikuwabu went in search of a hotel. He looked in his pocket and he only had $10 left, but he had no idea how much one would cost.
I thought I would find a hotel for $10, I'll be honest. So I knew a little bit French. I was like, I need the cheapest hotel, but people keep pointing me to go downtown. Now it's Rideau Street. So to go to Rideau Street, I keep going there. That's what I saw. So many people, I feel like I was back in the city. And I couldn't find it. There was no hotel. I remember I went to there's a Chateau Lollier. I went to ask there. And it was like even $250 a night. So I can afford that. I kept going to Rideau Street. And there was like a hostel. This guy, I think he charged me. I told him, I said, I have $10. But I think I give all the money that I have to the guy who was in front. And they let me stay one night.
The next morning, Sikuwabu woke up in a hostel and heard a familiar language being spoken.
I woke up at the hostel. It was shiny and hot day. And then I sat in front. But where I was waiting, that's how I met a woman from my country. But I didn't know she's from my country. So she came to see other people from Burundi who were staying in the hostel. But when she asked me, you look like someone from either Burundi or Rwanda, I just ignored her, but she speak my language. But I thought it was someone from my country who wanted to take me back. So I didn't speak to her. So I was being precautioned. And she went in, come back, she talked to me again, ignore her. She went, she come back. She was like, do you know anybody here? I can help you. She was really sweet. So I didn't have any choice. I say, okay, I'm from Rwanda. So we started talking. She said, do you know anybody? Do you have food to eat? Like all the moms, how they care with the kids. So she really was really, really nice to me. And so finally I opened up to her and she said, oh, come to my house. I'll make you Rwandese food. I make you everything you want. So I said, okay. So I went with her.
Mary put him up for the first couple of nights. And then for the next several months, Sikuwabu lived in a homeless shelter with other teens where he saw a lot of drugs and violence.
Oh, well, it was different. It was not what I expected because you have all the teenagers with different manners. So, but good for me, I didn't speak any English. So it was good that I would just keep quiet and I would clean my room and I would cook for others. But it was different because there was come smoking and fighting. It was just something different. I stayed for 2 months and a half until I met Mike Woods.
It was around that time that Sikuwabu met Woods and started running with the Ottawa Elite running team. Word was spreading about this young runner from Rwanda. He was fast. He had fled. And he was homeless. Daniel Riendo, a fellow runner, was sharing his story with the Ottawa community, and Nicole Lisseau, an Ottawa area physician, heard the story and decided that she had to help Yves Sikuwabu.
I don't know, Daniel Riendo had made the story about this poor kid that was living in a homeless shelter, and he was a good runner, and he had no home. I thought, oh my God. I wasn't looking for anybody to come to my house at that time, for sure. I just thought I could give him some school supplies, because I kept thinking, oh my God, he's got to go to school. He's got to go to school, you know? So then he came for dinner with Daniel Riendo, and during dinner I just thought, oh, he's such a nice kid. I just asked him if he wanted to come and live here, and he said yes. So he moved in the next day.
When Sikuwabu boarded that plane in Rwanda to come to Canada, he did not realize that he'd be leaving behind his aunt and the only family he ever knew. What Lisseau provided was a family and a new home, so much so that today Sikuwabu simply refers to them as Mom and Dad.
He was put into my phys ed class. So the day he arrived at school, I was teaching a grade 12 boys phys ed class, and he was added to my class. So the first chance I had to actually talk to Eve was in my class. I introduced myself. I told him that I was a cross-country running coach, and he agreed that he wanted to run cross-country. And the cross-country team was great in accepting him, and he made a lot of good friends really quickly. And it was just neat to see that. One of the neatest things was the first practice that Eve came to at Glebe was a Monday after school. And it was the first time I've ever seen the football team stop to watch a cross-country running practice when he was doing, you know, just one of the intervals down the backstretch of the track that the boys on the football team had heard that there was this superstar runner at Glebe now. And they watched him, and he looked so effortless, but was moving so fast. It was kind of inspiring.
Kirk Dillabo is a cross-country coach at Glebe High School and was instantly impressed by Sikuwabu. During the 2 years that he attended Glebe, Sikuwabu won the Ontario Provincial Cross Country Championships both years.
And last but not least, Sikuwabu, unofficially with the gold medal, stood followed very closely by Dragon Ishitella of Toronto Olympic Club.
Sikuwabu received offers to attend colleges in the United States as well as schools in Western Canada, but he decided to stay closer to home and attended the University of Guelph and run for legendary coach Dave Scott Thomas and the Griffins.
So I said, you have to, you know, find a place where somebody's going to take an interest in you. You can't just go to a university where you're just going to sort of say, oh, well, there might be a running team. Basically, Dave was really nice, and Dave really helped him a lot. I know he's not there now, but Dave really was very kind, very patient. It was a good thing to go to somewhere where somebody actually cared about you.
Sikuwabu had amazed his local community, and expectations were high. But after 3 years running for Guelph with injuries and inconsistent training, Sikuwabu was unhappy. Running had become a chore. The very thing that had brought him so many opportunities was no longer a source of joy.
It's a good question, because over time I discovered that my body was not able to handle a lot of mileage. And going to Guelph from high school, I had like a lot of expectation, because I was good in high school and I wanted to keep becoming better. So the first year was good. I ran well. But the second year, I could kind of stay consistent, but it took me 3 years that I did not improve. And when I was running, I never felt that I could enjoy again. I feel like it was a job. So I kind of lost the connection between me and running. I had to have fun instead of just to do it for the team. And I didn't like it anymore. And I say, well, I didn't improve the last 3 years, and I feel like I don't want to do this anymore. What do I have to do? And to be honest, if running was not going well at school, I felt like school was not going well either. And you feel like life is not going well. So I say, maybe I should try somewhere else and see what happens.
What he needed was a change. And in a difficult conversation with Dave Scott Thomas, Sikuwabu decided to leave Guelph.
The year that I tore my hamstring and I had a meeting with him, I say, look, I have improved and I feel like I'm not happy like I used to be the first year. I don't know what's wrong, but it's better if I go somewhere else and see if I can keep running, because I don't want to give up on running because I don't like it here. I might like somewhere else. So I talked to him and I thank him. I said, thank you for everything you have done, because he got me into school for sure. And he did a lot of things for me and I grew up there as an athlete.
During this time, he was questioning everything. And he found himself wondering if he would ever love running again, as he did when he was a child running through the streets of Kigali.
For the last 2 years, Sikiyabu has been attending the University of Laval, where he's completing a master's degree in mathematics. And he's also been running for the team.
The last 2 years I've been here, it's been great. And I finally found myself that I really love doing this. And I love people that I do with it. And we make it so much fun. It's not the same. I don't feel like I have to do this because Felix wants me to do it, or I have to do this because of Lavat. I have to run because I love it.
In 2016, his first year on the Laval team, Sikiyabu won the Canadian University cross-country championship title in front of a hometown crowd in Quebec.
And in 2017, Sikiyabu went undefeated throughout the entire cross-country season in his final university year. Out in Victoria at the Canadian University cross-country championships, in the pouring rain, with his parents watching on the sidelines, he repeated as the Canadian University champion.
All right, Yves, nice work out there at the 2017 U-Sport Cross Country Championship.
Thank you very much.
So it appeared that, and we were just talking about it a minute ago, it appeared that you were controlling your pace a little bit. You're at the front, and you're working as a team. And so you didn't make a break until the fifth lap, I guess?
Yes, it's like two and a half laps to go.
Champions, and you came in hoping to defend that title from last year. You came third.
Yes.
How do you feel about the performance?
7 years ago, Yves Sikiyabu boarded a plane for the first time. He was alone. He had only a backpack and $100 in his pocket. He came to race.
It was running that gave him a community, a family, an education. And ultimately, it was running that saved Yves Sikiyabu. And now he's giving back. When we asked Sikiyabu what his most important achievement has been thus far in his life, he didn't talk about his many running victories, but instead about his charity work that he's been doing recently, where he's been going back to places like Rwanda and Kenya to help kids just like him to start running and to better their lives.
The last couple of years, I just found something I actually really love to do. Me and my friends, we just started a foundation. It's called Running Changed My Life. It's pretty much working in Rwanda and Kenya, but especially in Rwanda because that's where I grew up. We are looking forward to help kids attend school and do sport as well. And the reason why I thought of doing this, it's just we want to give them a chance. We want to give these kids opportunity like I was given when I was a kid. If my coach didn't give me running shoes, if my coach didn't encourage me to go to school, I would never be where I am today. So I think over time, I'm just going to be working with that and help other kids and change their life. We have been there like actually twice this year, and we bring shoes, we bring clothes. This year, we send 50 kids to school, we pay their tuition. So I'll be honest with you, that's really something that really makes me so happy. And we just sent one kid to US school, we helped him, and then he got a scholarship. So every time we talk and he's so happy to be there, it's incredible that a little thing can change someone's life.
Thank you for listening this week. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at The Shakeout Podcast. And be sure to subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever else you listen to your podcasts.
If you enjoyed listening to this and other episodes, please leave a review for us on iTunes. It would greatly, greatly help our ranking in iTunes. We are bringing you this weekly podcast, and if you like this content and are wondering how you can support us, consider subscribing to Canadian Running Magazine in print or on our digital edition. We are also on the Texture app. Finally, we'd like to thank the Ontario Media Development Corporation for their contribution to this podcast. Thanks for listening.